Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Record.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a gentle mind and open up the doors.
Well, if anyone ever needed help, it's the American people today, where they're being abused by the FBI, the Department of Justice, a Biden administration, unprecedented. This raid on Mar-a-Lago, it's backfiring massively. I don't think there's a chance that the Democrats are going to benefit from this colossal blunder politically. Here we have a preliminary report, and I'm very delighted to say I'm joined today by Danny Siris, is here to offer his perspective on these matters. FBI raids Trump's home, DOJ planning indictment, end of the USA as we know it, and break into his safe. It's a beautiful estate, by the way. There was no necessity to do this. The Democrats are desperate to win in November, taking the United States down the drain to forcefully impose their will, or should I say, the Great Reset. On the approaching 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the Democrats are toying with what will most likely end in a civil war and the destruction of the United States. Never in the entire history of the U.S. has a former president been indicted for any criminal conduct. This has not been because there never was such an incident. Most importantly, the historic precedent is that post-term indictment is not legally allowed. Americans don't like the idea of criminalizing politics. Just look at Ukraine. In January 2022, Ukraine's former president, Petro Poroshenko, landed in Kiev and was charged with treason by Zelensky in a case that illustrates the danger of criminalizing politics. So many other banana republics do the same. Once one party gets a hold of power, they try to prosecute the opposition. Up until now, both political parties as well as the public see the prospect of post-term immunity as a guarantee that the country's politics will remain civil and that power will transition peacefully from one party to the other. All of that is now crumbling before our eyes. That very precedent is what drove President Gerald Ford to pardon Richard Nixon. It was also a reason why the Office of the Independent Counsel decided not to indict former President Bill Clinton for perjury. Former U.S. President Donald Trump observed Monday that his Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach had been raided by FBI agents. After working and cooperating with the relevant government agencies, this unannounced raid on my home was not necessary or appropriate. Never in the history of the United States has the FBI carried out such a raid. Trump publicly stated that his home was under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. He also said they even broke into my safe. Our computer has warned that 2022 would be a panic cycle in politics and 2023 would be a violent year for civil war and unrest. The computer pinpoints these events, and we cannot even begin to imagine the fundamentals behind them. But the Democrats have crossed the line. They are now trying to transform the United States into a banana republic of oppression and a direct assault on the very foundation of democracy. The nation has been polarized to the extreme. This is just going to put it over the top. Meanwhile, Wes Walker writes, Trump raid. The FBI should change its name to WTF. Dozens of FBI armed with carbines as though they were expecting armed resistance went room by room through the President Mar-a-Lago home while the 45th president was in another state. The judge who approved the warrant served as an attorney for Jeffrey Epstein while he was in private practice. But don't question his integrity. Authorities had already visited his home in the past and looked at the same documents that are supposedly at the heart of this issue. Contrast the handling of Hillary's dealings with authorities. When Hillary claimed she was hacked by Russians, the FBI never took her computer into custody. In fact, they relied on the say-so of a third party to confirm the alleged hack. And when she was busted with classified files on an insecure computer, her home was not raided, nor was her information seized. Her lawyers were permitted to go through and remove any email deemed to be personal in nature. And she deleted thousands of emails after they were subpoenaed. Or have we so soon forgotten the term bleach bit? We even know through the stroke text exchange the FBI had predetermined Hillary's innocence on the email question even before Hillary was interviewed. The same FBI that threw the book at Manafort over his dealings in Ukraine let his partner Tony Podesta off scot-free and granted immunity. Tony Podesta just happened to be the brother of Hillary's campaign staffer. What a marvelous coincidence. Trump's political allies are routinely given strong shows of force by federal law enforcement, Manafort, Roger Stone, obvious examples. Meanwhile, FBI agents who have abused their authority to target, for example, Trump, or in the case of General Flynn, falsified evidence against him, got slaps on the wrist, and sometimes a reinstatement of their pension. But we're also seeing disturbing examples of the FBI being little more than enforcement arm of Joe Biden's Democrats. We need look no further than the ACLU's outrage over the FBI's abuse of First Amendment protection over how the FBI treated Project Veritas reporters. Not only did they seize the journalists' electronics and leak their full contents to the New York Times, with whom Project Veritas had a pending lawsuit, they deliberately misled a judge about the nature and scope of the activities and actions they'd taken against Project Veritas. In sharp contrast to Hillary's bathroom-based server, Mar-a-Lago actually has a proper room, a secure room, in which top-secret information can be securely handled. Why would we need an armed pre-dawn raid for Trump over information Trump knew since at least January that someone in the current administration wanted from him? Why would they suddenly be afraid to destroy key information after it had been sitting quietly in his home for months? This has all the appearance of using a shotgun as a fly swatter. The real question is why they did it this way. Why didn't they go through the same polite channels they used with Democrats like Hillary Clinton? Unless their use of power was itself the message, both to the public and the people they investigated. Mike Pompeo tweeted, you think those 87,000 new IRS agents are just for show? Look at what the DOJ did last night to President Trump while it slow rolls and looks the other way on Hunter Biden. If they go after a former president, they will go after you and another. Executing a warrant against an ex-POTUS is dangerous. The apparent political weaponization of DOJ FBI is shameful. AG must explain why 250 years of practice was upended with this raid. I served on the Benghazi committee where we proved Hillary possessed classified info. We didn't raid her home. Ron DeSantis. The raid of Mar-a-Lago is another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents, while people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves. Now the regime has gained another 87,000 IRS agents a wield against its adversaries, Banana Republic. Meanwhile, just last Friday, with respect to the latest Hunter Biden revelations of Chinese Communist Party meeting with Joe in the White House, no less than Attorney General Barr has been calling for an independent counsel. By the way, I was checking last night how those who've been endorsed by Donald Trump were doing. Senate, House, and gubernatorial candidates endorsed by former President Trump and their results in Republican primaries in Connecticut, Minnesota, Vermont, and Wisconsin as of 9:53 p.m. Eastern. Lenora Levy, Connecticut Senate, leading with 52% of the vote, with 30% reporting. Michelle Fishback, Minnesota 7, 100% vote share with 11% leading. She has won. Peter Stauber, Minnesota 8, leading vote share 92.5% with 5% reported leading. Ron Johnson, Wisconsin Senate, 83% of the vote with 19% won. Tim Michels, Wisconsin governor, 47.5% with 24% leading. Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin 03, 100% of the 5% reporting won. Scott Fitzgerald, Wisconsin 5th, 100% of the 50% reported won. Tim Tiffany, Wisconsin 7th, with 85% of the 3% reported leading. Tom Emmer, Minnesota, even with 0%, I believe he was unopposed, won. Brian Still, Wisconsin 1, with 0%, apparently unopposed, won. So of those 10, already 6 had won and 4 others, and I believe all the rest won as well. So Trump is really batting tremendously with his endorsements, and I believe this is only going to solidify support all over the country for Donald Trump and in opposition to the Democrats. Danny Siris, I'm so pleased to have you here. Give us your thoughts about all of the above.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Very well.
Yeah, very good to be with you. I haven't seen you in a while. You look great. You know, this is really disgusting to me. You know, I followed the specifically the raid on Mar-a-Lago the other day when that happened. And I saw the announcement that Trump put out. He put out the personal statement. And then I followed everything I could right after. And when I found out about that judge, I just was thinking to myself, I wonder what DeSantis has got to be thinking right now and what his plan might be to investigate this afterward. This is disgusting. Everybody I've spoken to around the country about this is really, really upset that this could happen in the United States, that they would go after a political opponent in this way. I don't think this was a justified raid. In my opinion, it was not needed. It happened when Trump wasn't home, you know, and it is a dangerous thing to be doing because, you know, there's armed agents there to protect the president. So it wasn't needed at all. It could have been handled in a completely different way. And, you know, it's very upsetting to see this. But to me, what it shows is the desperation of the Democrat Party and the globalists right now to try to maybe get some dirt on Trump or try to weaken him in some political way for the upcoming elections, because, you know, they can see the writing on the wall, what's going on. But the problem is it sends a really nasty message to the public, and I think it's going to backfire even further. They definitely are showing their cards on how far they're willing to go, and they're showing the corruption. I mean, the corruption is in your face. And even, you know, anybody that even voted Democrat is looking at this quite astonished that they would try to do something like this in order to score some political points, sir. It's quite disgusting, as you pointed out, and I hope something gets done by Congress. I'm not holding my breath on that, but I'm looking forward to hearing some more from DeSantis on this, and we'll see if he starts some sort of investigation or does something. You know, at least we're hoping that, sir.
I think there's outrage across the board, Danny. I mean, and look at the unbelievably hypocritical double standard. Hillary Clinton actually deleted 33,000 emails after they had been subpoenaed by Congress, after they'd been subpoenaed. She not only used bleach bit on this the hard drive, she actually smashed it with a hammer. I mean, how could you have a more blatant offense, a violation of the law regarding government records than that, Danny? And nothing was done about it. Nothing was done about it. I mean, it's enough to make you vomit.
Well, there's two sides to the coin, sir. You know, what I call the globalist side of the coin, or, you know, that they run the Democrat Party. And then you have, you know, law-abiding citizens on the other side. Now, of course, there's some bad apples on the Republican side as well. There's no doubt, known as the Rhino crowd. You know, and nobody's perfect inside that party. But, you know, when you see the one side of the coin, you can definitely see that there's a bias and an agenda, you know, and who gets away. It seems like the most corrupt politicians in Congress are the ones that can do whatever they want. And they have a different set of laws, too. They don't have to follow the laws. There's one set of laws for, you know, American citizens, taxpayers, that we all have to follow. And, you know, we're raised under those laws. We know those laws. And then there seems to be another set of laws that, you know, there is no law. Basically, you know, what you just mentioned about Hillary, you know, that's a felony. They're committing felonies all over the place. And then, you know, to step back and say again with the FBI, to weaponize a federal agency like that and use it for political gain, clearly we've gone way over the line in this country. I mean, you know, the American people can see it. At this point, what's really bad is they're waving it in their face, and they don't care if you see the corruption at this point. It's reared its ugly head. They're committing this right in the open. Right in every American's face, basically we can do whatever we want to do. That's the message they're sending. We're not going to follow any laws whatsoever, and we're going to do anything we want, anytime we want. And it's like, what are you going to do about it? That's kind of where we are. That's the way I see it right now, sir.
Oh, Danny, I think you're 100% correct. And they must have a plan to somehow circumvent, to finesse the midterm elections. I mean, I can't see any way around it. They're literally peeing in their panties, pooping in their pants over Trump, the prospect of Trump cleaning their clock again. I mean, it began in 2016 when the election was rigged for Hillary. I did a lot of reporting at the time. They had rigged polls. They had rigged elections. They had pollsters that were in on it. They were photoshopping. Hillary would have a rally in St. Petersburg with 300. Trump would be in Boca Raton with 30,000. So they'd photoshop to make the crowd look as though it were roughly comparable to that of Trump for Hillary. I mean, it was just disgusting. But it was a rural vote. An expert on vote fraud has pointed out to me the obvious, namely, if you're going to steal an election, you have to go where the votes are. Those are in the big cities. But what happened in the case of 2016 was a rural vote turnout for Trump was so enormous it overwhelmed all their rigging, which is why in 2020 they had to make sure it didn't happen again. And you had a whole wide range of methods for stealing the election. Mike Lindell had a 3-day marathon developing a whole host of them. Then we have the Dinesh D'Souza film, 2,000 Mules, where there actually may have been as many as 50,000 mules who are stuffing these drop boxes with phony ballots at wee hours of the morning. But they were captured on video because they had to take photographs of themselves in order to be paid, where I understand they were getting $10 for every fake ballot they stuffed. And then Jeff Zuckerberg shelled out some $400 million at $10. That's 40 million fake ballots. That sounds to me pretty close proximity. And then using the Dominion voting machine, Danny, it was horrific. I mean, what has become of this country when a major political party does nothing but lie, steal, and cheat to maintain its political power? And by the way, a friend reminded me that a couple of months ago, Nancy Pelosi declared that even if we lose in the midterm, we're not going to relinquish our control. I mean, Danny, that's a treasonous statement coming from the the Speaker of the House, who's in the line of succession to the presidency. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, to touch on that voter fraud, I think the American people now are just numb to it. I mean, they're just cheating in our face now at this point. They're showing us directly that we don't have any say in the elections. I mean, there's so much massive fraud all around the country. You pick the state, there was even fraud in states that Trump won. But some of the massive fraud in the Democrat states was overwhelming with the drop boxes. You know, it's been that way for a long time. They pulled shenanigans during the California governor races where he was being recalled, Newsom. And, they announced that he won before they even had time to even count the votes, which was ridiculous. And, they're using COVID as a cover to operate these drop boxes, which is complete nonsense. You know, until we go back to paper ballots and we do the same day voting at a secure poll and we have, honest counting. You know, if you look at I believe it was 2,000 mules, and I've seen it before. You can look at the fake Biden come out and say, it's not the votes, it's who counts the votes. And he says that openly, in his own words right into the camera, it's who counts the votes. So we have a very serious problem with election integrity. We don't have a say. They've been rigging this for a long time. That's why, in these Dem states, candidates that nobody likes, nobody really endorses, always seem to win. And it doesn't even matter what's going on. Then we have these fake polls from the media that is telling us don't bother to vote because we're picking for you. They're trying to suppress the vote with these polls. So we have a lot of problems in our elections. But, the fraud is the biggie. And until we clean it up with paper ballots and get some secure voting going on, they're just going to keep cheating and keep cheating. After every election, there's never any bullets flying. There's never any law enforcement agencies that seem to go out and blatantly investigate these things. And I just never could understand that. And we do know because of corruption. They control the law enforcement agencies and all the prosecutors. They control their pensions. And they control all of this through the monetary system. So every single law enforcement agency, including the chiefs that run these, can be fired. They're all controlled monetarily. All of them, all the way down to the beat cop onto the street. They have to be very careful what they do, who they arrest, what crimes they go after. It's a hotbed political environment right now, and it's a very tough time to be in law enforcement, very tough time. And I feel for those guys because, again, every move is governed by their paycheck, and that's the way they control law enforcement. And they've weaponized it, and now they're clearly using this against the public to commit fraud, to steal the elections, to go after their political opponents. It just never ends. And they're doing it right in the American people's face, saying, I don't care, we're going to do this. What are you going to do about it? And it's a very sad state of affairs in the United States, sir. And I hope something changes very soon.
Oh, you got all that exactly right. Carrie Lake, who run the Republican nomination for governor in Arizona by carrying every single county in the state, is calling for defunding federal agencies, defunding the FBI. And I think that's going to catch on. I mean, it was colossally stupid for the Democrats to talk about defunding the police. The police are there to help you, to protect and serve. The occasional case where you have a cop shooting a black guy, which are relatively few and far between, are those they focused upon to the exclusion of all others, where the overwhelming majority of gun violence is blacks killing other blacks, especially in big cities under Democrat control, Chicago being the perfect illustration, where whites killing blacks is very rare. Blacks killing whites is far more common, about 10 times as often as whites killing blacks. So when you look at the statistics, it's been grossly distorted to promote the defund the police agenda. But look, now the Democrats are decriminalizing shoplifting up to $1,000. That's making it a routine, everyday occurrence. They're giving a revolving door treatment to blacks who are arrested on the specious grounds of equity that they think blacks have been abused because more blacks are incarcerated than their proportion in the population, ignoring the fact that more blacks are incarcerated because more blacks are committing crimes, far disproportionate to their proportion in the population. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting how bad have been the arguments that have been used to promote the dumbest idea in American political history of defunding the police, and Nancy Pelosi and, you know, Maxine Waters and a host of others of these libtards were out there cheering it on. They wanted more of these riots, more of these arsons, more of this looting. And by God, they're getting it, Danny. They are getting just what they wanted.
Well, sir, you know, you can easily see what's happening in regards to the criminal thing. Now, I have my own opinions about what's going on about this. But, you know, by looking at law enforcement around the country and contacts I have around the country, especially in these Democrat states and even in some of the Republicans, I see where the pressure is coming from, especially in the PDs, the sheriff's departments. We have some really good sheriff's departments in this country with some very, very good sheriffs. But what I notice is any of these departments, they're getting financial pressure put on them. They're trying to remove the money from the sheriffs that won't go along with this nonsense. And we can see that happening all around the country. But, you know, there's several states to talk about the crime. It's so bad. What they've done is they've weaponized the criminal population against the American people. And I think what's going on is it looks like a depopulation move. And it's just one more piece of the puzzle to weaponize the criminal population and use them on the American people. Because you can see over and over again in these Democrat cities that when they arrest these felons, they let them go the next day. I mean, they're giving them these really small bail amounts, $20, $50, you know, for these felony crimes. And they'll be out on the street the same day. And many of these felons in these different states have been arrested the same guy two and three times in the same day. So what does that tell you when they let the same person go out knowing they're going to violate?
Danny, hold that thought. We'll be right back after this break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, joined today by Danny Suras. We're reviewing the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago and its ramifications. I believe this was over the top, that it's going to tremendously damage the Democrats. It's going to galvanize support for Donald Trump. Here's an illustration. I was just tuning into Fox when Jesse Waters was reported what had happened. And among his very first guests was Dan Bongino, who went nuclear over the event. I've got him here. Listen to Dan Bongino on Jesse Waters' show.
Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent and the host of Unfiltered on Saturday nights. Dan, your thoughts?
Well, a couple things here, Jesse. You know, they have this thing in courts called Giglio material. So if you're a federal agent or a police officer like I was, and you get caught lying, right?
You're
basically done. You have to.
My mistake. I got the wrong tape from Dan. I'll see if I can track it down. Fox News weekend host Dan Bongino went ballistic on the network after news broke the FBI had raided the residence of Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. This is some third world bullshit right here, Bongino declared on Monday's Jesse Waters primetime. Let me say it again. Third world bullshit. I mean every word of that. I don't care. It's cable news, he added. This is a freaking disgrace, a disgrace. We don't live in Cuba. We don't live under Kim Jong-un. We live in a constitutional republic, a representative democracy. You have a bunch of FBI agents raiding the home of a former president because they don't like his politics? Are you kidding me? The raid appeared to center on official government materials Trump took with him to Florida, according to the New York Times. Some of those documents are believed to be classified. You spent this whole show, Jesse, and I've spent my entire time, either on Fox or on my podcast, exposing the left for claiming Russia interfered in an election. Hillary Clinton paid off a bunch of foreign agents, her team literally, to fabricate a story that occupied the nation for 4 years. What's she doing right now? Getting a manicure in freaking Chappaqua. She's not doing squat, nothing. Hunter Biden is having sex on tape while doing crack. And what's he doing? He's living in a Malibu mansion. Bongino claimed the FBI has lost all credibility. Nobody will take them seriously from this point on, he said. It is over. He said it's of the utmost importance for Republicans to retake Congress in November's midterm election. And here we have a former New York Police Department commissioner claiming the Democrats are going to try to assassinate Trump. I'm sorry to say, I think he's got it right. I would not put assassination beyond these people, said former NYPD commissioner Bernard Carrick, claiming Democrats will try to kill Trump if the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago doesn't spark criminal charges because they've tried everything else to stop him. He warned he's deathly afraid for the former president's life. Fear the left had exhausted all other efforts to stop the 76-year-old. The FBI searched his estate in a probe to whether he took classified records. The ex-president revealed the raid, said the files even broke into a safe. Here he is talking about it.
A couple different social events, and I hear people talking. They said the Democrats want this guy so bad that they wouldn't put assassination behind it. And I'm going to tell you something. They've tried impeachment. They've tried another impeachment. They've tried one investigation after another. This is about one thing. This is about stopping him from running in 2024. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not into conspiracies. I'm not into anti-government rhetoric. This is the first time in my lifetime that I would say I am deathly afraid for Donald Trump. I would not put assassination behind these people.
I mean, how about that? I think that's exactly right. Democrats will try to assassinate Donald Trump, as Bernie Carrick, not a guy I agreed with on every issue, but I think he's spot on here, concerned they will kill him. The FBI searched Trump's estate as part of a probe into whether he took classified records from the White House to his Florida mansion. Trump revealed the raid in a lengthy statement and said the feds had even broken into a safe at his home as they hunted for the documents. Agents are reported to have seized 15 boxes worth of classified info, but have not commented on what they contain. Trump blasted it as prosecutorial misconduct and accused the Bureau of Double Standards for not doing the same to Hillary Clinton. Bernie Carrick is very worried. There was a lot of public support for Trump, and it's going to swell. He said, if you remember back in 2016, right before he got elected, this is Bernie Carrick, I was in Washington, D.C. I was at a couple of different social events. I heard people talking. They said the Democrats want this guy so bad they wouldn't put assassination behind him. And I'm going to tell you something. They tried impeachment. They tried another impeachment. They tried one investigation after another. There's about one thing about stopping him from running in 2024. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not into conspiracies. I'm not into anti-government rhetoric. This is the first time in my lifetime that I would say I am deathly afraid for Donald Trump. I would not put assassination past these people. There's more here, but let me invite Danny to comment. I think all of this is so horrific in the United States, Danny. It's really shocking. It's like a glass of ice water in the face of the American people. I think this is going to wake a lot of people up. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree, sir. It's going to wake people up. It has woken people up. What it's doing is it's showing that how, in the ways of, we were talking about before the break, in the ways that they've weaponized law enforcement, against the citizens. And when you do something like this, I mean, you know, if you think about it, they raided the place knowing that Donald Trump was not there at the time. And, you know, who's to say what's going on with those documents? I mean, we don't know anything about them. But, you know, he's the president, and he was the president. He's clearly allowed to have, you know, any of those such documents. And, you know, they also, I saw many scholars came on and say, you know, he's the president. He could say whether something is classified or not. It's not up to them. It was up to him. He was the decider on what is classified. So, you know, obviously they're trying to find something or trying to come up with some dirt. They're desperate. It's showing the desperation for them to try and pull a stunt and to further show the American people that they can do whatever they want. I can only wonder what was in the minds of those FBI guys that were involved in this. Were they thinking about their paycheck and pension? What were they thinking? Because I can't imagine they, when they walked on that property, that they knew that they were lawfully doing something. There's no way. They knew what they were doing. They were briefed on what they were doing. And the fact that they went along with it, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some resignation somewhere along the lines. I just can't imagine doing something that unconstitutional like that. And then we take a look at the judge that that authorized this and his background. This is a really bad situation. You know, DeSantis, Congress needs to take action immediately. But, you know, they're willing to do whatever they need to do to try and gain back some power, irregardless of all the fraud that they're committing. Again, weaponizing the FBI in this way, sir, is very disgusting. It has taken the public back, and it's just one more step, a big step, to show the American people that, you know what, they're going to, this party is going to do whatever they want by any means necessary. They're going to lie, cheat, and steal, and they're putting it in our face saying, hey, what are you going to do about it? We can do whatever we want.
Well, you know, I've long understood that Trump takes a very dim view. He's very harsh on, you know, child sex abuse. He really wouldn't have anything to do with this pedophilia stuff. Even though there are photographs of him with Jeffrey Epstein, he was at social events. They were taking photographs constantly. That did not mean they were compadres. I don't believe Trump had the least interest in any of that. Meanwhile, however, the points you're making about this judge are stunning. Judge who signed off on the FBI raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago mansion, donated $2,000 to Barack Obama's campaign, and Representative Jeffrey Epstein's elite express pilots, his scheduler, and his Yugoslavian sex slave. Bruce Reinhart represented several employees of the billionaire pedophile. This was before he sanctioned the unannounced raid on Mar-a-Lago. He left the local U.S. Attorney's Office over a decade ago to help members of Epstein's staff. Meanwhile, Reinhart was also revealed to have donated $2,000 to Barack Obama. He acted for several employees of the billionaire before sanctioning the unannounced raid on Mar-a-Lago. He left the U.S. Attorney's Office over a decade ago, set up a private practice to help members, including the Lolita Express pilots and Jeffrey Epstein's scheduler. He was accused in a lawsuit of breaking the Justice Department policies by using information from his previous job to benefit him in the private sector, which he denied. Meanwhile, he was also revealed to have donated to Barack Obama's campaign in 2008 and Jeb Bush when he ran against Trump in 2015. The FBI, of course, searched Trump's estate. The ex-president revealed the raid in a lengthy statement. Here we have a photograph of Bruce Reinhart juxtaposed with that of Jeffrey Epstein. This is very, very troubling stuff. This guy should have known better. I think they knew he was the right guy to go to. He helped Jeffrey Epstein's pilots, his scheduler, Sarah Kellen, and the woman he called his Yugoslavian sex slave, Nadia Marchinikov, who's pictured here, a fetching young woman. Agent filed two requests with a federal magistrate in West Palm Beach before the search was carried out. The office is made up of three judges, William Matthewman, Ryan McCabe, and Reinhart, who was assigned the cases. The warrant applications entered the system Monday, but did not disclose Trump was the target. He was made a magistrate judge 4 years ago after spending 10 years in the private sector where he worked with Epstein's staff. He helped the billionaire pedophiles pilots Larry Viskosky, David Rogers, Larry Morrison, and Bill Hammond. He also worked with scheduler Sarah Kellen and Nadia Marchenkov, who was known as his Yugoslavian sex slave. On New Year's Day 2008, he left his job at the South Florida U.S. Attorney's Office, went to work with the employees the next day. His official bio says he managed a docket covering the full spectrum of federal crimes, including narcotics, violent crime, public corruption, financial frauds, child pornography, and immigration. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, this is, I don't understand, sir, how he got politically appointed to be a judge. I mean, he had enough on his record to call into question whether he should be a judge or not. And obviously, you know, they put him in place as a card or to have up their sleeve should they need it. And they obviously used that card on this particular occasion, sir. You know, I'm just disgusted with law enforcement and the whole thing. The way it's been weaponized politically, I see it all around the country. It's terrible. I mean, I'm a taxpayer just like everybody else. And, you know, they're supposed to be out legitimately fighting crime. We have enough crime in the United States as there is. I mean, it's all over the place. You know, I just saw coming up on my news feed during the break, I saw a really nasty home invasion in the Hollywood Hills just popped up where there were shots fired at the suspects. I mean, we have some real major, major problems. We have these felons running around the street. They get out of jail. They immediately arm themselves in these inner cities, and they go right to work committing violent crime. You know, you mentioned the shoplifting is out of control. I saw a video of minorities, particularly blacks, going into retail stores, and they're just walking out with shopping carts full of merchandise and yelling at the security guard saying, "I'm black, I can do whatever they want," blatantly, and just walking out with no force and stealing items. I mean, how long can retailers hold out when you have one class of people that literally can just walk in the store and steal whatever they want to take? I mean, it's just annoying, and onlookers see this. And I just don't understand in society why this is being allowed. I mean, I do understand why they're doing it politically right now, but the fact that law enforcement is standing down and allowing this to happen, we have a real serious problem with our law enforcement and the way the monetary system looks it, and it needs to be redone. You know, I just like to point out, and I've said this many times, I believe in the sheriff's office way more than the police department, and I really would like to see it get back to just the sheriff's department alone. And the reason why I say that is at least the sheriff is an elected official and he cannot be fired. And the way that they're neutering these sheriff's departments is when they're constitutional and they're following the law, they're constantly attacking the sheriff's budget and taking the money away or trying to figure out how to take his money away so he can't be effective in fighting crime. And then, of course, with police departments, as most people know, it's just a chief that they hire off the street from anywhere, and they can hire and fire that chief at any moment, the city council. And that's how they control the purse strings and control these police departments. So we have a major, major problem right now. They're using the monetary system, which they control through pension and paycheck, and they're controlling our law enforcement that would love to go out and stop all this crime, but yet their hands are tied because they're worried about their paycheck and their pension. And we have all this fraud going on with the voter fraud. And the same thing, these law enforcement agencies aren't doing anything. They're being kept at bay and allowing this fraud to continue because they're controlled through their paycheck and their pension. We have a lot of complicated problems in the United States. And then all the way back to this FBI raid, and we have a judge here signing off on this unlawful warrant. And I've seen all the legal scholars around the country can't imagine why this was even happening in the first place. So this is a really bad sign to the American people, and I hope they'll understand just how far we have fallen and what's going on in this country. We have a lot of problems. And again, I'll say it, I hope something changes soon. It's almost like we need the military to come in right now and take over and just wipe these agencies off the map, figure out who's good, who's bad, and reset the system, because it's a real big problem.
Oh, Danny, and where's the leadership from the White House, which ought to be speaking up and condemning all of this lawlessness? And of course, that's, in my opinion, why they wanted a brainless munchkin like Biden out there, not even the real Joe, a guy who would have no comprehension, no sense of responsibility, no conscience. I mean, they wanted a non-president so they could just use him as a puppet. It appears Barack Obama is manipulating the situation behind the scene. It may have been Obama who figured out that this Reinhardt was the right guy to sign the warrant for this raid on Mar-a-Lago, because no responsible judge would have done that. He would have recognized it was an outrage. But in fact, it's going to backfire. I think this is going to solidify support for Donald Trump. But meanwhile, the lawlessness just runs rampant across the nation. We have some 75 DAs that were funded by George Soros. One of the amusing developments of late, by the way, on which I've been reporting, is the United States Nations through UNESCO is coming out to attack the spread of conspiracy theories. I mean, what a trivialization of UNESCO. And they're saying specifically that do not believe that George Soros, the Rothschilds, or the State of Israel are involved in conspiracies. I mean, there they are, citing the A number one prime movers who are behind all these conspiracies, especially, of course, the Great Reset and all the monster frauds that go with it, and Soros in really undermining the judicial system within the United States to further his objective, which he's declared publicly many times, to destroy the United States during his lifetime. Danny, it's just outrageous beyond belief.
Well, I would agree, sir. I mean, it's so over the top what's going on. I mean, it's hard to believe that this judge would do something and not know there was some kind of blowback. And maybe he's, you know, who knows? Maybe there was some money that changed hands. Maybe there's some blackmail involved somewhere. You know, maybe that'll come out down the road. But this is really an egregious thing. And he knew when this happened there was going to be some blowback. So he was probably handpicked for a reason. You know, again, we'll find out maybe what those reasons are down the road. But this is a very serious issue right now. And it shows that the globalists will do anything to kind of forward their agenda, what's going on. And they're using corruption. And now they're at the point now, sir, where they used to try and hide it. But now they're not hiding it anymore. There's no hiding it at all. They're just blatantly in your face, just committing these egregious frauds and felonies. And it just never ends. It never ends. It's getting worse by the day. And this is one of the worst ones. I think it'll go down. We'll be talking about this one for a long time, sir.
Here's a clip where Jesse Waters is talking about all this.
No comment. Hours after the unprecedented raid on a former U.S. president, the people responsible won't talk. They won't tell us what they took, why they took it, or what they're doing with it. This came straight from the top. Everybody knows it, but now they want to play dumb.
President Biden, what did Attorney General Barr tell you about the Trump raid? Do you approve of that kind of Trump raid?
It would not be appropriate for us to comment on any ongoing investigations. Again, we're just not going to comment on any ongoing investigations from here. Again, we defer any incoming on this particular incident yesterday to the Department of Justice. Again, I'm just not going to comment on any reaction to what happened yesterday. We are going to refer any incoming to the Department of Justice. I don't have anything more.
Joe Biden campaigned on uniting the country and then raided his predecessor's house with guns and has nothing to say about that. Where's the attorney general? Where's the FBI director? You can't just break into a president's safe and then go silent. We need answers. Biden's now divided the country in a way that can't be repaired. This is unforgivable. Here are some answers we need. Why'd they shop the warrant to a judge involved with Jeffrey Epstein? The judge is an Obama donor. He's a magistrate judge, Bruce Reinhardt, who helped Epstein's associates get off. Why is this being done out of a D.C. situation instead of Florida? Because the guy who's running the FBI field office cooked up the fake Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot, huh? These documents they seized from President Trump weren't even under subpoena. So why'd they go in so hard? Hillary smashed iPhones with hammers and poured acid over 30,000 emails under subpoena. The FBI never raided her house in Chappaqua. They came over and had lunch and handed out immunity deals like candy. There's a mountain of hard evidence that the Biden family was involved in a massive international pay-to-pay scheme with our biggest enemies, Russia and China. Hunter was getting bribed with diamonds. Joseph was getting kickbacks from communists. There's pictures, voicemails, banking records. But the FBI buried that to get Joe in the White House. Oh, and then there's the Pelosi family that has a better stock trading record than Warren Buffett. Let me repeat. Nancy plays the market better than Warren Buffett. And she's not being investigated for insider trading? Sandy Berger stole documents from the National Archive, stuffed it in his pants. They didn't raid his house. Two CIA directors, John Deutsch and Dave Petraeus, were caught with documents in their homes. They didn't get raided. FBI Director James Comey took documents to his house and leaked it. They didn't raid him. Democrats can get away with murder because their families have been controlling D.C. for decades. But if you challenge them like Trump did, you're done. Oh, never knock down the door of one of their own. Trump promised to drain the swamp, gets raided. The left celebrating like this is the best sex they ever had. Watch.
This has never been done before in the history of this country. He would not have authorized it unless they believed they had significant evidence that a crime had been committed.
This is a night where you are going to remember where you were.
This is such a historic day. If it's that kind of information, you could see why Lisa Monica and Merrick Garland would take swift and decisive action. That's all the sort of, I'd say, good news.
These are bloodthirsty savages who want to see you humiliated and violated. This is a threat to anybody who opposes them. Look what we can do to you. We can even storm into your president's home and take whatever we want, and he can't do anything about it. Even
Danny, we're going to continue with Jesse after the break, but I think he's making so many telling points here. Your thoughts?
Well, I would agree, sir. I mean,
okay, hold that thought, Danny. We'll be right back. We're on the break already.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. Time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny, we have more from Jesse Waters, but I want to hear your thoughts on what he's been saying here first. He's doing quite a good job with his show. I think it's becoming increasingly influential, and he really has a pretty good sense of news, so that the combination of Jesse followed by Tucker is really quite powerful. Your thoughts about what you've heard so far?
Well, I would agree, sir. I mean, he took the words right out of my mouth that I was just saying, you know, how corrupt this is. And they're just doing it right in our face, and they don't care what we think. And I believe that's exactly basically what he just said. He goes, what are you going to do about it? And that's what I said. You know, they don't care now. They've weaponized law enforcement and the FBI to a point to where they're going to break the laws. They're going to do whatever they want to do to try to achieve a political objective. And they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about right or wrong. They're demonstrating, sir, that they're living by a different set of rules and values than me and you have to live by. You know, we're given a set of rules as citizens that we have to follow and we have to live by. And they are up and above those rules. Those rules only are for me and you and the regular person on the street, you know, that's working for a living. But when you're in a political elite, you know, you can violate the Constitution. You can commit fraud, right? You can commit felony fraud. You can use the law enforcement to achieve a political, you know, objective, and nothing's going to happen to you because, you know, they control the system. They have enough judges in place, and they're demonstrating to the American people just how bad the system is. And I think they're showing their own Democrat Party that, listen, this is what we need to do to stay in power, get used to it, and this is just the way things are going to be. We're going to do whatever we want. This is like Trump said. I think this is Watergate 2.0, but much worse. And this is just showing the American public how far we have fallen. We are in a banana public situation, and something has to be done soon. And, you know, the puppet Biden that's in there right now obviously is part of this. You know, I don't think he has anything to say about anything. He's just a figurehead that they have out in front I don't know who's really behind the scenes. I could guess, but I don't know who's really the people behind the scenes, or the exact people behind the scenes pulling the strings on this. But, you know, it's such a joke. It's showing it to the American public. Books are going to be written about this for hundreds of years after we're long gone about this time. And it's going to be interesting to see what's done. Is the military going to step in and end this nonsense and clean the slate? Or are they going to just allow this globalist to further erode the U.S. Constitution and just keep running roughshod over the American people like this with fraud? We'll have to see what happens.
Well, they politicize the Department of Defense, and they, between Milley and the Secretary of Defense, you have a couple of miscreants who should never have occupied those positions. Trump admitted he made a huge mistake with Milley. He thought others who'd opposed him were doing that because he was strong in opposition to them, but they were doing that because he's a total mediocrity. And the guy who runs the Department of Defense now is right there in pitching equally. They put in people because of their race and their sex and what have you that have no competence whatsoever, that don't belong in the position. We have ludicrous examples of transgenders and gays. I mean, the military is falling apart, Danny. Who wants to join a woke military? Who wants to shower with a transgender? Who wants to go to battle with pink tanks? I mean, it's just absurd. Jesse has more to say. Let's check back in with the rest of his commentary.
Trump's most dedicated haters aren't comfortable with this type of action. Andrew Cuomo said, DOJ must immediately explain the reason for its raid. It must be more than a search for inconsequential archives, or it will be viewed as a political tactic and undermine any future credible investigation and legitimacy of January 6th investigations. And not everybody in the media is on board with these tactics. Watch.
This, I'm hoping, goes beyond simply not complying with some archiving laws, or DOJ just handed Donald Trump the Republican nominee and potentially the presidency. If it's seen as some sort of massive overreach and not something incredibly serious, this is a very good day for Donald Trump.
To send this kind of FBI team to the former president's home, there has to be something more than just a Presidential Records Act violation.
This does step on Democrats' victory lap a little bit. As far as what Republicans are saying, they think that this is going to be very good for Republicans.
Biden's political terrorist attack against the candidate he's about to face off against shows Joe knows he can't win fair. Sending 30 men in with guns to get pieces of paper because the National Archives was complaining that getting stuff back from Mar-a-Lago was taking too long. It's like a librarian launching an FBI raid. We're raiding a president over bookkeeping. Trump's team was already working with the feds and already handed over boxes of documents this year. Just this summer, agents were in Mar-a-Lago. Trump's lawyers were showing them around. This is where this was. This is where this was. The Fed said, all right, keep it secure. The next thing you know, boom, they come back with safe crackers, telling Trump's lawyers not to watch and hauling off 10 boxes of docs. The Wall Street Journal is reporting the documents included President Obama's private letter that he left for the incoming President Trump in the drawer of the Resolute desk in the Oval, you know, a presidential tradition that goes back decades.
This was the letter given to me by President Obama. I won't show it to you, read it to you, but a beautiful letter.
Is there a line you can share that struck you most?
And there were numerous lines, so well written, so thoughtful.
Men with guns showed up for that. A personal letter between two presidents? The Wall Street Journal is also reporting one of the documents that was also seized was Trump's private correspondence with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
I was really being tough, and so was he. And we go back and forth, and then we fell in love. Okay? No, really. He wrote me beautiful letters, and they're great letters. We fell in love. But you know what? Now they'll say, Donald Trump said they fell in love. How horrible. How horrible is that?
They could have easily negotiated the return of documents like that without guns and warrants. What the FBI is probably doing is planting evidence. which is what they did during the Russia hoax. We also have a hunch they doctored evidence to get the warrant. Again, what they did during the Russia hoax. So this is a big fishing expedition using anything they can against Trump to take him out of the race for 2024. Or just hang this dark cloud over his head like they did with the Mueller investigation. Remember, they knew for 2 years there was no crime, but they tried to frame the president for obstructing a crime he didn't commit. They crossed a very serious line with this, and they're never coming back. And everybody involved in this needs to be prosecuted for misconduct, disbarred, and have their pension stripped. And that's just the beginning.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page. No comment. 24 hours after the unprecedented raid on a...
Let me just say, Sean Hannity went on to have excellent guests as well. So, I mean, I think Fox has really been doing a terrific job. But your further thoughts on Jesse Waters' commentary, Danny?
Well, I love that last part where he said, you know, everybody in there needs to be prosecuted, fired, and that's just for starters, and their pensions need to be taken. There's no doubt about that, sir. But the people in charge of doing that, behind the scenes of doing those actual moves he talked about, are part of this whole scheme. So that's why we're not seeing any action done. Everybody's wondering, why don't we see anything done? Why is something like this allowed to be happening? Normally, in law enforcement, you would see some sort of an action from, you know, the state. Something would come in and oversee this kind of corruption. But at this level, when it's done at the top, there's no oversight. You know, and Congress is, I don't know, they're so far gone now. They just sit on all this corruption and nothing ever happens. They have no teeth. They don't do anything. I mean, where's even Rand Paul? Why isn't he screaming in the media about this? Why don't we hear these senators screaming, you know, this should never be allowed. We're going to do something. We're going to take some sort of action. We don't see anything. I mean, we don't see anything going on. This is a really bad situation. I mean, his commentary was spot on. We crossed the line. We crossed the line a long time ago. But now we're at the line to where they're just blatantly going to do whatever they want to do. It's getting worse. I mean, they know what's coming. They know that they're going to take massive losses in these elections coming up. And they're desperate now that they're just blatantly knowing that prosecution is going to be coming their way very soon. That's probably what they're worried about, is that when a legitimate government gets in there and takes over, we're going to have legitimate prosecutors and legitimate people looking into all these crimes. So they're just like going for broke right now. They've crossed the line so far now, they're going to do whatever they can do to try and hold on to power, because once things revert back to normal, when cooler heads prevail and real people get in there with honest values, they know that many of the same people that are behind this are going to be prosecuted and going to probably go to jail for the rest of their life. So their backs are against the wall. They're just going to do whatever we're going to do. This is just the start, sir, of it. I think it's going to get much worse, and I can't predict what's going to happen. But this is so over the top, sir. I mean, I'm still taken back by the situation. And again, Jesse Waters did a fabulous job on this particular commentary. And it's just amazing to see in a country. I never thought I'd see anything like this. This is really bad on multiple levels, no doubt.
Well, the two foremost speculations about how they're going to try to circumvent or finesse the midterm elections, where they're going to go down massively now, even more obviously than before, have been a new pandemic, possibly around monkeypox, though I think more likely Marburg's, that those who've been vaccinated have these microscopic blood things in their system that can be activated by 3 jolts of 5G at a certain frequency, and they'll begin bleeding from every orifice, which is, of course, a horrific image and is going to scare the shit out of the American people, so that they can impose a lockdown and then require that all voting done by mail so they can steal the election. Or the alternative would be a nuclear war, whether it would be with Russia or with China. I think China, Pelosi's trip, and I'm given to understand she was going to all these different nations in Asia because she was getting payoffs for corrupt actions that she's negotiated behind the scene, that it had nothing to do with the legitimate foreign policy of the United States, but with enriching Nancy Pelosi, whom one of the commentators was observing is doing better on the stock market than Warren Buffett. I mean, this is unbelievable beyond belief. And to provoke China, when we've acknowledged the one China policy, but was stupid, politically stupid. It did take attention off of her husband having this DUI and apparently involved in other shady activities. So she would like the distraction and a lot of other calamities taking place. But it was colossally stupid. Now, my understanding is that Chinese have that long view. You know, they think of events 100, 200 years in advance, that they're very happy with the progress they're making by buying up America. I know when I visited, Southern California not long ago for my high school's 60th reunion, that I noticed a lot of the homes in Arcadia, not far from where I grew up in South Pasadena, had been bought by Chinese, and they tear down the old architecture and put up new. It's kind of a futuristic vision, but there's an awful lot of it. They're buying up a lot of farmland. I think the Chinese feel they can buy America over the next 100, 150 years. They don't want to be buying radioactive real estate. So I think the Chinese actually are opposed to the idea of a nuclear war. Russia, if it were to engage U.S., could take us out so effortlessly without using any nukes and EMP over the United States to take out the electrical grid, would bring everything to a halt. I mean, the United States would be frozen in time. So, you know, we're really running major risks all around the clock. And it just appears to me that the Democrats are so desperate and Biden is so irresponsible, where my best guess is that Barack Obama and Susan Rice are telling him what to do, but that they are stooges at George Soros and the Rothschilds, so that, you know, everything is a part of this bigger picture of bringing about the subjugation of the entire world under a one-world government. Where can you believe, Danny? Klaus Schwab is now saying everyone needs to give up their automobile. After all, you're only driving your car about 4% of the time. Yeah, I think once Americans understand Klaus Schwab, once you give up your car, which represents freedom and mobility, they're going to be disgusted with the whole idea. Klaus Schwab is one of the most despicable creatures on the face of Earth. But I see the Democrats moving forward to try to find some way so that the election does not take place. And did I mention that I have this report that that Nancy Pelosi actually declared that even if they lost the election, they would not give up control, which is as unconstitutional, anti-democratic, tyrannical a statement as American politician could ever make? Your thoughts?
Well, sir, we could probably do a whole show off of all those really good points that you just made. I mean, there was a lot of topics in there. I was trying to keep up with them, but you know, I'd like to back up to the you talked about, you know, some of the scares of the election and the COVID. You know, I have a lot of contacts in hospitals all around the country. And, you know, the nurses that I get to talk to tell me still to this day, and I want people to understand this, and this is from the beginning, that people that are in these COVID wards now, and this is the intel reports that I hear directly, people that are in these COVID wards around the country are 100% jabbed. And I have not even heard, I always ask how many people are in there that have not had the vax. And I hear 100% are vaxxed. They're double vaxxed and boosted. And that's are these people that are showing up to the hospital to be sick. So I want people to really understand that the media, to me, is directly covering that up. And it almost looks like, not to change the subject, but it almost looks like these variants are some sort of a cover for people reporting to the hospital sick from the jab. And then they just keep laying these variants over in the media to try to cover the fact that these people are showing up to the hospital and sick. There is no test to this day. The test in the hospital is still the PCR, which does not work. And there is no test for variant, of which I've asked several doctors, can you explain to me any of these tests for any of these things that we see in the media? And one of them chuckled And he told me there is no test. There's real no test for COVID. As a matter of fact, he told me it's never been isolated. They don't even know the PCR doesn't even directly test for COVID. And there is no variant. We have no way. And I said, what do they keep talking about in the media with all these variants? That he said he has no idea because there's no way to even check for the real COVID, much less all these variants. And then again, when I found out what's going on in these with COVID around the hospital, with these people admitting, there's a lot of people in there that are sick, but they're all jabbed and boosted. So I want people to really be mindful that that's what's going on in our hospital. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. Now, according to some of the intel sources that are going out around the country, they're saying a lot of them think that the election, sir, might not even happen. It's getting so bad and they're taking such a pounding that they're looking for a way to halt the election and try to come up with some kind of a reason not to have one. And you know what? If that were to happen, sir, it would not surprise me at all if they tried that. What they would use to do that, I have no idea. Create some kind of an emergency. Who knows what they would do? But, you know, they've obviously demonstrated they're willing to commit fraud. They're willing to use COVID. They're willing to use all these false things to try to do this. And who knows what they're going to do. But it wouldn't surprise me, sir. I have my eyes open all the time. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. But we'll have to see what happens as this goes. And this is this raid that they did on Trump is obviously going over the line to try and stop him. But what are they going to do to try and just shut down the elections? Are they going to pull some kind of power outage nationwide? What will they do? I don't know. But I have a feeling they're going to try something, sir. This isn't the last of it. We're so over the top now with the corruption now, it's hard to put your finger on what's next.
No, well, that's why I was talking about monkeypox and Marburg's, Danny, that they could declare a new pandemic and lock the country down and insist all voting be done by mail. But they've already got the ballots printed up, you'd think. I mean, it's virtually that bad. The alternative being getting engaged in a war with either China or Russia. And that's why I'm explaining, I don't think China wants to have a war with the United States because they feel and they plan over the long term that in 100 or 150 years, they'll have bought up as much of America as they want. And they don't want it contaminated with radioactivity. And where Russia, if they engage in a war with the U.S., wouldn't even have to use nukes because they could take out our electrical grid with an EMP over the United States. I mean, it would be so effortless and so stupid. But if there were a war, then, you know, you'd presumably be able to finesse the election or insist it all be done by mail. Remember, even third world countries don't use mail-in balloting because it's understood it's so easy to steal elections. And where the not only did Mike Lindell have a three-day marathon of all the techniques they used to steal the election, but the Dinesh D'Souza filmed 2,000 mules, of whom there may have been as many as 50,000 mules, were being paid $10 a ballot to stuff the ballot boxes at 3 a.m. in the morning by Mark Zuckerberg, who donated $400 million, and at $10 a ballot, that's 40 million ballots illegally cast. I think that's what it took, Danny, for them to steal the election. They're ready to do it again, but it looks like they're not going to be able to use exactly the same techniques, which have been outed in so many states. But I guarantee 100% they're going to do something desperate to preclude being swept out of power, because if we have the midterm election, they are done. Stick a fork in them, they're done.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, sir, and you know, they're showing what they're willing to do with this raid on Trump's house in Mar-a-Lago. I mean, they've committed fraud in so many different massive ways, and it's over-the-top blatant fraud. I mean, you know, the American public can see it. Now, 2,000 Mules, Dinesh D'Souza's video or movie was brilliant. But I saw an interview with the lead investigator in that movie. He said that there's even a lot more behind the scenes to come forward. And, you know, he hinted on what some of it was, but he knew the entire system, he said, that was set up throughout the country and how they were doing up and above even these mules. And the American public can see how they cheated. I mean, just blatantly in your face. When you saw those mules head back to Stacey Abrams' office over and over again to get these fake ballots, I mean, and nothing's been done. You don't see her. She hasn't gone to jail. You don't see any investigations. You don't see any public arrests of any of these mules that done this, that, you know, they've been caught on video multiple times doing this. You don't see any of it. And when you have this level of corruption, sir, I'm just not sure at what point we're going to see anything. And barring the military coming in and saying, you know, enough is enough and wiping the slate clean and getting rid of all these characters, you know, I just don't see it coming from law enforcement. Our justice system is corrupt with the officials that are in there and running it. I'm sure in these systems we have legitimate, honest employees. But again, they collect a paycheck and they're only going to do what their superiors tell them to do. And they have a smattering all around the country of all of this corruption all over the place. It's really a bad thing. You know, earlier you brought up a point about the Epstein thing and what's going on with the Soros district attorneys, which is a major problem in the United States. These Soros DAs are letting crime go wild in many of these cities, and one comes to mind is Los Angeles right now, that's spiraling out of control. Like, I mean, there's so much violent crime there. You've even had the police department tell people, don't come and visit Los Angeles, we can't protect you. And I've never heard a police department come out with a public service announcement and say that. But it's really bad. But I'd like to give hats off to DeSantis, who actually used his state police the other day to send in to remove a Soros DA by force. And I thought, man, how refreshing that was to see that. I don't know if you saw that report, but he actually removed that guy out of power because he was sitting there, you know, blatantly committing corrupt acts and not prosecuting these criminals. He was just letting these major felonies go and not do anything, which is causing, you know, horrific harm to the public. And that's what we're seeing around the country. We're basically being attacked by criminals that, you know, have recently got out of prison. They can't work. They have no way of earning income. They arm themselves. And they're treating the United States like a buffet. And they've been signaled that, hey, you can do whatever you want, and we're not going to do anything because we're just going to give you a $50 bail. Okay, you already got a bunch of felonies on your record. What's one more? They don't care because they're not going to get a job ever in their life anyway. They're so far gone. They don't have the resources to start a business, so they're never going to start a business. And nobody's ever going to hire a violent felon. They have no chance of getting a job anywhere. So it's a really bad state of affairs with the DA, sir. Again,
hold that thought, Danny. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah. join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I would ordinarily have already given out the call number for to take your calls, and I know there are many of you who are eager to contribute to the conversation about these issues. Mitchell's had to depart early, so I cannot take your calls. As a consequence, Danny and I will be continuing to discuss these matters for the final segment. And I only wish I could manage to get you in, but I cannot today. Danny, I'd like to say it seems to me this Alex Jones thing is a monstrosity, that they're trying to take out anyone who disputes a sanctioned narrative. They're using the mainstream media and the government as sources that determine facts of the matter, that all of these lawsuits, and I've sought to intervene in all three of the Alex Jones lawsuits, to draw attention to the fact that there's been no judicial determination that anyone died at Sandy Hook. But I've been rebuffed by both sides, both the plaintiffs and the defendants. Alex Jones has steered far, far away from me during a video deposition in Connecticut. He stated he'd never even read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which I find very peculiar. I mean, how can a guy with his prominence taking a stand on such a controversial issue not have read the one objective scientific study about what really happened, where I bring together 13 experts, including six PhDs, to sort things out? And then during this trial, you may or may not be aware, but there's an effort to take my blog and to take the book itself to satisfy a financial judgment against me. 1.1 I have in judgments against me. But under the law, you cannot take something of no financial value to satisfy a financial judgment. They claim that the book, when there was a fire sale after Dave Gaharry of Moonrock Books agreed to no longer sell it, that they sold like hotcakes what he had remaining in stock and made, I don't know, $25,000 or something like. So they're claiming, they're giving me credit for that. But that's when the book could be marketed. I pointed out that Leonard Posner can't market a book that blows apart Sandy Hook. It's got no value to him unless he can market it. If you were to market it, you'd have to take out the three sentences that were declared to be defamatory by the court, but that would mean it was no longer the copywritten version. It was no longer my work, so he cannot market it. My blog obviously has no value to him. He claimed four domain names that I didn't even own, two of which had the name James Fetzer, two of which the name False Flag. Leonard Posner is not promoting James Fetzer nor false flags. So I pointed out to the court that these have no value to Leonard Posner. But the court nevertheless issued an order, a taking order, to let them take. And on the 27th, I submitted a motion for reconsideration explaining how all of this really does not satisfy the law and that there's no justification for the taking. But I'm not having the hearing on that matter until the 17th, a week from today, which may mean that we have a guest host here that day because I may still be in court. It begins at 9:30 Central, and the show comes on an hour and a half later. But where they went ahead and seized my blog on the 28th. Now, it just so happened that during the Alex Jones trial on that very day, they were taking my name in vain. They were reporting how Paul Joseph Watson, whom I thought was a pretty good guy, I think one of the stories we've been covering here was even authored by Paul Joseph Watson, was writing to Alex Jones saying, we got to stay as far away as possible from that batshit crazy Patzer. Well, a lot of people might want to wonder what makes me batshit crazy. They may want to check out my blog. But they took the blog and redirected it to documents in the Dane County case about taking. So if you went to jamesfetzer.org, that's where you're going to get. Now, you should see my replies to their objections to my motion for reconsideration and my reply to their objections for my motion for a stay, which is pretty interesting reading because it's rather evident that the law is on my side. But they went ahead and took it because although I claim completely wrongly, they didn't want to run the risk of people finding out what I had to say about Sandy Hook. I've created a new blog now, jameshfetzer.org versus jamesfetzer.org, now jameshfetzer.org. And you can access a lot of that information there. But they did me irreparable harm because it broke all these links to all those blogs, all the independent blogs, of which there were, I don't know, 1,600 that were internationally making, you know, connected to my blog. And it was all done deliberately, bringing about irreparable harm. Issuing a stay wouldn't do any harm to the plaintiff. The Posner, in this case, would do him no harm because he can't get any money from these anyway. They're going to need to give me an accounting of what money they claim they're deriving when they can't even market the book. I mean, it's really a preposterous situation, but it's politically driven, Danny. They do not want the public to know what happened at Sandy Hook. They knew as soon as they started trashing me during the court case, and the court case itself was bizarre because even if you have a default judgment, the plaintiffs have to prove their case, how they were damaged, you know, and so forth. And that really did not happen during this trial. They just rather finessed it. Turns out the judge appears to be a libtard who's very eager to trash Alex Jones, but they're using it to attack all of us in the alternative media who are challenging official accounts. So it's really a monstrous attack on the First Amendment. Danny, your thoughts about any and all of the above?
Well, sir, there's a lot there. You know, ooh, that's a whole nother show in itself, but I'm glad that you brought this up. There's a lot of strange things about Alex Jones that I would like to bring up. But before I go down that path, one of the things that's going to come to mind is I'll never forget when you went on his show when you released your book, and this before I even knew you or got to know you. And when I saw that, I watched that actual episode live. I remember when that happened, and you were excellent on the show. You talked about the book. You touched on a little bit of the evidence, and it was a very exciting show. And not only so, that Alex Jones actually archived. Back in that day, he was archiving all the videos for the show, but he wrote a specific article and made it a front page right in the middle of his website, a front page article with you with an imposed or embedded video of that show, your book, and he had a photograph, because I took a photo of it, of the website. He had a photograph that you had shown during the show that I believe at that time you had never seen before and nobody has seen. And in that photograph, it showed the state police in the parking lot before the shooting had even happened or before the fake shooting happened. And it showed Wayne Carver standing there waiting for his equipment. There was nothing there on the scene yet. There was no ambulances. There was no nothing. It was very revealing. In the photo, it showed the windows had not been broken yet. I know you know the photo that I'm talking about. And, you know, when I saw that, and then I saw the next day, particularly, that not only did he take the video down, okay, but he went in and scrubbed the article, okay? He actually went in and took the article down, took the video down like it never happened, and never wanted to talk about it again. And that was very, very strange. That was the first time I had ever seen him do that. And that's when it really started to call into suspicion. Why would he do something like that? That was talked about by a lot of people, the way that he had took that down. And I was very surprised by that. And, you know, I've read your book. I think it's an excellent book. I've looked into the Sandy Hook thing and many of the facets of it with you and on my own. And it's a clear, blatant fakery. We already know, we've covered ad nauseum all the characters that were involved with Sandy Hook, you know, like the David Wheeler and all the different characters that were part of that whole thing. And we've covered it over and over again. You know, we even have a photograph. It's, you know, I want to talk about some of the blatant stuff. In the Sandy Hook, we actually have the kids appearing in the Super Bowl that year. Okay, and they, during the halftime show, the kids that they said that died in the actual Sandy Hook were on the Super Bowl during the halftime. And what they did is they used pictures or photographs of the children when they were much younger, several years younger, and they were several years older at that time. So it would be, to explain that in depth, it would be like somebody taking, you know, that's 50 years old now or 40 years old or whatever, and showing a picture of them when they were in, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade, something like that, and putting it on the news. Nobody's going to know. You know what I mean? Kind of like the 9/11 hijackers. They just threw some photos up on the screen, and many of those hijackers to this day, if people don't know, have come forward and said, hey, man, that's me. I don't have anything to do with this, you know, and they don't live in this country. Well, they used old photos of these children, and they brought these kids and put them on the Super Bowl, and that was documented. And the commissioner of the NFL, when they found this out and the public got wind of this with all of the media, alternative media covering this ad nauseum, IDing each children, one particular video I saw, did a close-up of each face and matched it up. You know, he put a gag order that said nobody in the NFL was allowed to talk about what they saw on the field that day. That's never been done before. So you think about it. Why would they do that? Well, they're in on it. They know what happened. They knew what happened. It's obvious. The other one was when Wolfgang Halbig came forward, which I thought to this day is still the most blockbuster thing, or one of the most blockbuster things, is he has a photo of the kids. The kids got together in a specific photo during graduation of high school. They're much older now. And they took a photo. All the girls got together and took a photo, one of them holding like their diploma in their hand. And they're taking a photo and sent it to him. And he's been in contact with them. And we see this photo of them alive and well. And it's a great photo, and it also shows them when they were younger, and it's them. And they're blatantly showing the world that they're alive and well. This is a hoax. And I was hoping during the Trump administration, when he was in, that he was going to come light with all this and the kids were going to come out. I haven't heard anything from Wolfgang in a long time, but I understand he has some form of cancer. And, you know, I haven't heard from him on this subject. But when I saw that photograph, sir, and, you know, millions of people saw that photograph. It went out all over the place. I mean, this is just a blatant hoax situation. And they're desperate to keep these false flags in place. And they want to keep this ball rolling. So anybody that's still under the guise of listening and believing that these shootings are real, which you've debunked several of them in the last, you know, countless over the years, they want to just kind of keep this train rolling. They're desperate to keep the public from finding out, the mainstream from finding out that this was a contrived event that they put on with a series of crisis actors. And, you know, what Alex Jones said or didn't say is true. And this whole thing to me reminds me of the Boston bombing trial. It's just a show trial. I don't believe it's real. If you look closely at that judge, something very strange about that judge, something very strange. He or she, I'm not sure, looks a little strange in many of those images. But, you know, some things that Alex said, there were so many procedure violations in that court. It didn't even look like a real court. It didn't look, you know, there was, many of the scholars said the procedure violations were over the top, but yet it continued. It almost looked like, almost like a soap opera, and almost like he was going along with it. And why would he not have you as part of the trial? Why would they not show the photograph of the kids live and well? Why wouldn't they show the video of the kids on the Super Bowl floor during the Super Bowl? You know, all these blatant evidence. Why wouldn't they call in and have David Wheeler testify? You could get him under oath in there. Why not get him in there and ask him questions about why he was pretending to be a grieving parent, and then the next shot, he's part of the police carrying a weapon upside down by the magazine. Why not have him in court discussing all these things? You know, why would the attorney ignore you when you offer to come forward with evidence that would, you know, get his client off and help his client? That doesn't make sense to me. The only thing that does make sense when you kind of step back and look at this is the fact that they're all in on this, sir, and they're just covering this up. You know, it's very strange to me. You know, and then there's one more point I'd like to bring up, and this is a whole new show, another show about Alex Jones. And, you know, there was this theory for a long time that he is really a gentleman called Bill Hicks. And who is Bill Hicks? Bill Hicks was the comedian, and Bill Hicks is the spitting image of what we know as Alex Jones. And when I first heard this, I laughed it off. I said, oh, it couldn't be. These guys have gone over the top here. It couldn't be. Well, I got tired of hearing it. So I actually looked at the evidence, okay? And rather than look at opinions of this story, I looked at the evidence that he's Bill Hicks. And guess what I found, sir, that was very puzzling to me? At the very same time I found out when Bill Hicks supposedly died, Alex Jones was born. So that's when he came onto the scene. He actually, Alex Jones, even assumed the same producer of the show. They had the same employee work for them at the same, right when one went down, one came back up. And then all of a sudden you have Alex Jones that said that he was, you know, in his young 30s or 40s. He's saying he's 48 years old. If you've seen him on the trial the other day, that guy looks a lot older than 48 years old. He's got a lot of miles. Now, I'm not being negative and putting down the way he looks or anything. But what I'm saying is that his age does not match the age that he's given. Yeah. There's no doubt about this. So in looking through some of the records, there's some really troubling things, again, when you look at the evidence. And here's what I mean. There is no death certificate that I can find on file for Bill Hicks. So in other words, Bill Hicks did not die. Now, that's a very big problem. When I look around for death certificates on any particular person, I can always find them, except when I get into these high public stories that we've talked about before. I can't find it, and I don't understand. Why is that so hard? I should easily pop up that I can find it, but I can't find anything on this guy, okay? Nothing. It's like everything has been deleted. There's no death record. Something is way wrong about this whole history with Bill Hicks. The other thing is the age. Okay, Alex Jones says he's 48. Well, I'll tell you what, he looks 60. And Bill Hicks's age is he'd be 60 years old. So the age matches perfectly of what Alex Jones really looks like when you put those ages together. They sound the same in the old recordings, and they look exactly the same. He was a voiceover expert. He did a lot of jokes. He was very good with his voice. Very creative. Bill Hicks did stand-up comedy, and he sounds exactly like Alex. But that's still not enough evidence, right? The death certificate, I guess you could call it circumstantial, okay? But it's a little weird. Why can't I find the death certificate? But I'll tell you the one that really got me, sir, that really bothers me the most. And the one that gets to me the most is the deep forensic analysis I saw of his teeth. I saw a close-up of his teeth and a close-up of the teeth from Bill Hicks. And this is the one, sir, that got to me. Because I understand a little bit about how this works. I have a couple friends that are dentists. There's, you know, often when somebody dies in a fire or a horrific car crash or something, they will use the teeth to identify a person because the teeth can be like a fingerprint. It has very distinctive markings, distinctive shapes, and you have multiple teeth in somebody's mouth. You know, a tooth goes straight up. It doesn't often straight. It, you know, it tilts to the back, it tilts forward, it tilts left, it turns right, it can twist to the left, it twists to the right. There's many different things. And then the other tooth next to it will have adjacent angles as well. And no two teeth are the same in any person's mouth in the country or in the world. Teeth are very, very distinctive, like an ear or really like a fingerprint, forensically. And what I found during that forensic report that I saw is Alex Jones and Bill Hicks have the exact same teeth. And it was so uncanny to see the exact gap and the exact incisor shape, twist, angle. Everything was the same on every single tooth, sir. Not just one tooth. It was every single tooth down to the gap and to the angle of the tooth. The way it leaned either forward or back, twisted left and right, all the different angles that a tooth can grow out of somebody's gum. And it was an exact match on every tooth from Bill Hicks to Alex Jones. Now, what are the odds, one in what, trillions, that they found two guys that look the same, act the same, talk the same. One dies, they have the same guy working for them, and their teeth are an exact perfect match. And that is the one, sir, that set me over the top. Something is going on here. I believe Alex in some way is in on this, and I believe that was some sort of a show trial, a setup. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just looking at the evidence, sir. Something is way wrong, and I believe he's in on it, and they're trying to project to the public that this really happened when, in fact, most of the public knows now that the kids are alive and well. And this never happened. And if anybody can get their hands on your book, which I think is just over the top with all of the evidence that showed the fakery, you had a private detective on not too long ago, I remember, that showed a close-up of the bullet holes in the window. We can actually see the drill marks, which I've never seen that before. I mean, and that was a new piece of evidence. I mean, it just never ends with the fakery and the hoaxery. And what better than the kids are alive and we have a photograph of them, but yet you still want to go along like this really happened. What a nonsense this whole case is. I mean, just over the top political, sir, gun grab, and they're just desperate to keep this thing secret because of all the other false flags they have either planned or the other multitude of ones that have happened. You know, Sandy Hook is one of the biggest ones, if not the biggest. And once that comes out as a fraud, the kids come out in public and wave their hands and say, hey, I'm alive and well. That's going to knock down the whole house of cards, sir, and it's going to take the whole entire thing down. And I think they're just using Alex Jones as a card to try and scare people and try to legitimize the whole thing. So that's kind of my overview of the whole situation.
Well, let me comment on at least two aspects of what you've just reported, Danny. Number one, by sheerest coincidence, just this morning I was watching a video that shows that Alex Jones is Bill Hicks. So, I mean, it was very persuasive. I watched it just this morning. I'd been a little open to the idea. I wasn't quite convinced. Your point about the dentures is absolutely impeccable. In my book, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, I used dental work to show that Paul McCartney actually did die in 1966 and was replaced by an even better musician. Their teeth are not the same. They're very, very different. Paul had a narrow palate and bad teeth. Fall, the replacement, Billy Shears, actually has a normal palate and good teeth. Also, I have there a couple chapters about Saddam Hussein. Joe Viles, who was an Australian photojournalist, noticed that the guy they put on trial had an underbite and bad teeth. Saddam Hussein had an overbite and good teeth. They took out Saddam in a B-1 bomber raid on the 7th of April, 2003, just 3 weeks into the invasion. bombed a restaurant on the outskirts of Baghdad and killed Saddam, his two sons, and 50 or 60 members of the general staff. Even Dick Cheney, vice president at the time, said, yeah, we think we got Saddam. They dragged his breathless body out of the rubble. In addition, then, to Bill Hicks and the teeth part, Robert Barnes, who's quite a brilliant guy, who actually, to my astonishment, believed Sandy Hook was real, gave a critique about the trial, and he was emphasizing that to him this appeared to be literally a show trial, that he has been inside the courtroom, and that they had three cameras there, one of which was directly focused on the jurors, and that in this case, while Alex Jones was found to be in default for not complying with discovery, he thought that was absurd, that Alex Jones had probably been more forthcoming about discovery than any other defendant he'd ever known of, thousands of pages of discovery in all of his videos. And when he asked around, you know, what was the part that Alex Jones didn't come up with and provide by discovery, nobody knew, not even the reporter for the New York Times, who's doing a massive smear job on me and everyone else who's seeking to expose what actually happened. No one knew how Alex was supposed to have failed to comply. Well, even if you have a default judgment, the plaintiffs have to show their case. They have to prove that they're entitled to damages. That did not happen. It was just finessed. And you had Alex with this, you know, apologizing, hugging, Scarlett Lewis, all this stuff. I mean, just to highlight one element, just he was being sued for he never actually mentioned any of these parties by name. He was being sued because they claimed to have suffered emotional distress. I mean, it's quite frankly absurd in my opinion. But the fact is, Jesse Lewis has claimed he held his dying son. Neil Heslin claims he held his dying son, Jesse Lewis, in his arms, whereas Wayne Carver, the medical examiner, said the parents weren't even allowed to see the kids. So which is it? Was Wayne Carver lying when he said the parents couldn't see the kids? Was Neil Heslin lying when he said he held his dying son in his arms? Or are they both lying? Notice they can't both be true, but they can both be false. And indeed, they appear to both be false. So what Robert Barnes said was, this appeared to him to be a complete show trial, literally a show trial. He thinks it's a made-for-TV movie they're producing in the courtroom. So your observations that this doesn't even seem to be a normal courtroom and the conduct of the judge here is bizarre, I think you're spot on, Danny. Listen, I want to thank you, Danny Sirius, for being here. Everyone, sorry you couldn't call in, but Mitchell should be back Friday, and we'll be glad to take your calls. Thanks for being here. See you then.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and...